Welcome to another episode of the Eternal Athletes Podcast. Ryan and Aaron Klein here. Beautiful bride by my side. We're here to empower athletes to glorify Christ with their game and pursue a life with him for eternity. So got a great guest on the podcast today. He is an amazing person, an amazing human being, first and foremost. And he also happens to be an awesome quarterback and man of God. So he has made a few different stops, in his college football career. Most recently at Geneva College, he was a starting quarterback there in this 2025 season, and he broke a few school records, thrown for over 3,000 yards, 38 touchdowns.
No big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal at all, but he put up some great numbers. And what was even more inspiring too, aside from the record breaking stats, was just his heart for the Lord, and just, how he depends on the Lord, to help with him on decision making and guidance and everything. So I know our guest, Caleb Romano, quarterback from Geneva College, is going to have some great insights to share on how we can bring Jesus into the world of sports. So without further ado, welcome to the Eternal Athletes Podcast. Caleb Romano, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys for all the kind words. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for carving out some time. I know it's a hectic time of year for you, with what's going on school wise and postseason, all that kind of stuff. So thanks for joining.
All that time. Yeah. We're excited. Yeah. And we always like to dive into Caleb. Just obviously this whole episode is going to be all about you. We want to know your story and kind of where God played his part along the way, we always like to kind of start though with where the intersection kind of started for you. I know you mm-hmm. grew up kind of in a faith-based family, that intersection kind of happened, where you started to bring that to life on the field as well.
Yeah. I'm blessed to have a family that, instilled those values in me at a young age. So even now, like thinking about a time where I haven't known the Lord, like I just haven't had that. So, which is a blessing. And I think sports as well, those kind of two things have been there since I was a kid. I haven't really known a time without the Lord and without sports. So I think those things have always kind of blended together. But a lot of that kind of like looked kind of through the lens like of my parents or of my dad. And then as you progress, as you get older, I think you naturally start to make it your own. And I think there's a decision there. It's either you do or you don't. And I think, again, blessed by my support system. But also I think I've been able to maintain that heart, for both of those things. And I think God has just placed it on my heart for a reason. So I think the intersection, I think it really started, I think after my junior year. So I think around COVID, I think the first big transition in my life was, going from New York, moving down to Florida. So I think it kind of forced me kind of into that. Okay, like, what am I going to do now? And I think I lived a lot of my life with a lot of sameness. So things were the same. So I didn't have to worry about, really relying on the Lord fully. And I think once those things started to happen, I was like, man, like, I got to trust in the Lord. Like, something's got to. So I think that shift kind of started that. And I think I was like, hey, here's an opportunity where, okay, I've always had the Lord. I've always had sports. But I think I want to take that to the next level. So just getting involved, vocalizing all those things more. I think being intentional with those things, because it's a gift at the end of the day. I get to play football, and I get to glorify the Lord through that. It's a blessing. So just being intentional with that. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. So what did, your faith like look like growing up for you? Obviously, very strong in it now. I mean, what did that look like? You mentioned a pretty good and blessed in a lot of ways with great parents. What did that look like?
Yeah. So my dad, my parents were the assistant pastors at the church that I grew up in. So heavy influence there. My dad is a president of a Bible college. So it's an online kind of thing. He works with local churches. So super wise. Like, I think a lot of questions that I have, I can always go to him, which is awesome. But yeah, so I've been like kind of, I was born into, the church kind of thing. Like I've never not known what that looked like. But I think for a lot of my kind of like middle school and early high school, I think, I don't know if it's a pastor's kids thing or it's a lot of kids that grow in the church, grow up in the church. It kind of becomes like boring or routine because like you've been around it so long. So I think I was always like jealous of like people who had it. Like, I felt like I didn't have a testimony. Like people have a coming to faith moment. I'm like, man, like I've just been involved in it so long. Like, I don't know what that looks like apart from Jesus. But that shifted a lot kind of during high school, I think. Just getting caught up in, you know, worldly things and, you know, being around the wrong people and, you know, just not fixing my eyes on Jesus and, you know, putting all the weight on myself and trying to figure out things my own way, which I think in some ways, you know, we all struggle with that. And I think I still do. But yeah, I think just trying to do things my own way, you know, caught up to me. And I was like, man, I was like, maybe I should, you know, listen to the things that I've been taught my whole life. So I think, just kind of, again, like COVID actually, like for a lot of people was really hard. For me, it was a blessing because it took me out of school. It took me out of football and it just let me, kind of reflect on a lot of the things that were happening. I'm like, well, I can't go to school. I can't play football. So what am I gonna do about that? So I think I just took that time, to just seek the Lord. And I think just have him work on a lot of the things that he's been working on my entire life and just bring those things to fruition and just kind of groom me for all the things that are happening now in the past couple of years. I think that was the start of it, of just getting me ready, getting me prepared, getting my heart posture, ready to be able to tackle all those things. Because after COVID, so the past 5 or 6 years, there's been change every single year. And I think if I wasn't ready for that, like if God didn't groom my heart for that, I wouldn't have been able to step into the calling that he's had for me. So yeah, I think, I've always known the Lord, but I think again, like that intentionality, like it really changed, around COVID. So when I was about 16 or 17 years old, was kind of when I kind of made that my own.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks for sharing. And I mean, I think, you know, what you went through in those high school years, it's kind of the, you know, I don't want to say typical setup, but it's just the boundary testing phase, you know, much like a toddler. Yeah. We have a 3 and a 5 year old, you know, so it's just, you know, maybe that's, you know, I don't want to equate that to a toddler stage in spiritual growth, but like, I feel like everyone has to go through that in some ways where it's just like trying it on their own and not really needing to rely on their faith so much. I mean, I can, you know, I can relate. I know a lot of people can relate where, you know, great upbringing, but like, what do I need this for other than, you know, it's a good thing to do. Right. But that's awesome. You're able to learn through that with COVID and, use that when it came to like making college decisions and everything. Yeah. So you had a lot of moves, within a few years, right? Do you maybe want to kind of transition then into like what brought you or how you are where you are today and maybe your story there and how you relied on the Lord throughout all of these decisions, because you've had to a lot, we're sure.
I think I've learned, I praise my dad a lot. My dad is the greatest man I've ever met, and his faith and his trust in the Lord I think is something I admire more than most things. And I think so he kind of spearheaded a lot of this, like at least at the beginning, because I was still in high school. But we had lived in New York our entire lives. Like, so all my siblings, I'm the middle of 5 kids. We all grew up in New York. My parents grew up in New York, and it was really just we felt a call, my dad especially, but we felt that call from the Lord to move down to Florida in 2021. So right after COVID, all the craziness is happening. It was a leap of faith. Like a lot of people back home, like didn't really understand the why behind a lot of it. And we kind of just had to go with a lot of unanswered questions, which is always tough. Because it's like, it really is like, you just have to rely on the Lord, you know, like leaving all my friends that I was going to graduate with and going down to Florida for my, like just my senior year of high school. There's a lot of fear attached to that. July 4th weekend. So football season starts in August. So I had a month before football season. I didn't know what that was going to look like. But we watched the Lord, not just in my life, but my family's life. We watched him move like at every single step.
was want to get into. Obviously, you've had a great upbringing, and I know you mentioned maybe some times where you not necessarily wavered away from the faith in high school, but just didn't maybe rely on it as much. What do you think maybe has been the most challenging time of, you know, your athletic career? You've always had to rely on faith, like obviously moving, but like, what about like maybe not getting the starting job, or if you always started, or any time you like literally wanted to like scrap God, put him on a back burner, maybe, you know, like, whether it's for days, months, whatever. What are you, I don't want to call them down moments, but in this case, down moments, struggles. I mean, that you
opportunity moments
aside from moving, because those are obviously big. What else?
I think, my freshman year was, at Aurora was definitely, it was the hardest period of my life, like thus far, like, without a doubt. I think, my identity got attacked like a ton. Because I think as athletes, like an inclination is to put our identity fully in our sport. And I dealt with that like heavily. Cause in high school, I think I just identified myself so much with, okay, I'm a quarterback or I'm an athlete. And then going to Aurora, and I think there wasn't really a moment where, even when I was going there, where I felt like I wasn't going to play or I wasn't going to be the starter. Like, it's just how it always was, and I didn't really know a reality, like, beyond that. But I didn't play. I wasn't the backup. I was the third-string quarterback on the scout team. And I think that hit really hard, because I think in my head I was like, God, like, I want to use football, like, to glorify you. And I'm like, I can't do that if I'm on the bench. And I think, so there was definitely some mad at God moments where, and I think looking back, like, it's just a misunderstanding, where it's just like, I'm like, man, Caleb, like, you didn't get it. Which I think, again, like, is beautiful that God allows us the time to grow or the opportunity moments, like you're saying. But at that point, I was just angry. I was mad at myself, like, maybe I didn't prepare enough. Like, maybe I didn't do enough. I didn't work out enough. I didn't watch film enough. I didn't, you know, all those kind of questions. And that's a dangerous place to be, because you start to attack yourself, and that spirals into depression and anxiety and all those things of just start to creep up on you. So I think for the first time in my life, like, I dealt with those things, and being 16 hours away from home, like, there wasn't really a great outlet for that. And I didn't plug myself in at Aurora. So a lot of those moments were kind of spent kind of by myself and internalizing a lot of those thoughts. And I think I really struggled. I think, like, it started on the football field, but then it was just a ripple effect into my faith, where I was like, all right, God, well, if you're not going to give me what I want and what I think is best, for this relationship to work, then I'm going to try to do it myself. And I think, so I had that moment of just being angry and feeling like, okay, maybe I can kind of spearhead this myself. Which I'm grateful it didn't last very long. Like, as soon as, like, I think that the realization came pretty quick, where I'm like, that's not going to work either. But I think there's those questions that came up, of just being mad at it not working out the way that I thought it was going to work out. But God's gracious, and I'm very grateful for that, that he allows me time to be mad, to be happy, to be sad, and experience all the emotions I have to, but it all points back to him. Which is great.
I think it's important to note here as well is that you didn't quit. I know a lot of athletes along the way that didn't get the starting position and left, or you know what I mean? And they didn't stick it out for that whole year and be a part of that. And I think that speaks a lot to, you know, who you are, but even just seeing that entitlement, I guess, is what I'm looking for, maybe for lack of a better word, where I do see a lot of people that it's like, just wait, you know, like this is happening for a season, or, you know, maybe you didn't start there, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, maybe at Aurora, even though you weren't the starting quarterback or whatever, I'm sure you learned something while you were there that, you know, there was like skills that were built, or, you know, something came of it.
Absolutely.
You know, that you needed. So I think that's my biggest wish, is for more athletes, is to not quit when you're not the number one person.
Oh yeah.
you know? Yeah.
Especially, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a freshman in college, I mean, that's a big wake up call. The speed of the game's way different. And I mean, heck, even like Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, a lot of times don't start right away in the NFL. Now there's a right. lot of pressure too, but it's just, you know, speed of the game's different thing. I want to pry open something. And I think it's a really great topic for a lot of athletes, because not everyone's going to be the starting quarterback. Not everyone's going to win the Heisman or, you know, Maxwell Award or take whatever award you want in whatever sport. You wanted to glorify God and you didn't feel like you were quite glorifying him, like not playing, right? Yeah. If you could go back or if you could give advice to an 18-year-old freshman, a 19-year-old sophomore who is third or fourth string, obviously we know in the eyes of God, they're no lesser of a person, right?
Right,
What would you maybe tell someone like how they can still glorify God being third or fourth string? I mean, because we're all part of one body, right? What's more important, the arm or the leg, you know, the eye or the ear, whatever. It's all to glorify God. So what would you maybe say to an athlete?
That's on the bench? That's great. And I think going back, like, I think I do get mad at myself for that, because I think, like you said, like not being entitled to the point where I didn't quit, but there was that sense of entitlement where I did feel like I deserve to start. And like, if I didn't, then like you said, like I felt like I was lesser. I felt like I wasn't, you know, able to make an impact. But I think one of my favorite things about football is that in a lot of ways, like it's similar. There's similar analogies to the body of Christ, because it's so large. Like a lot of sports teams like are small, but just the idea, like you said, that everyone does have a role to play. So I think, my thought process as far as like, okay, if you're not one of the top 22, you can't make an impact or you can't glorify the Lord. And I think that my understanding of it now, like that cuts deep, like that I was like, that was my thought process, because I've met so many people the past couple of years that maybe not be the starter on the team, but are some of the biggest glue guys on our team. And like the team would not be what the team is like without them. And I think, I'd argue that's a tougher responsibility, a tougher calling than the guys that are playing, because you have to have a really big ego check to the point where, okay, like maybe I'm not going to get the awards, I'm not going to get the stats and recognition, but I'm still going to plug in and I'm going to work my tail off to be able to get those guys ready and then still be a part of the team and not complain. And like, that's a tough calling. And there's so much that we can glorify God in that. And then I would also say just because like it doesn't happen at first doesn't mean it's never going to happen. I think like we get into that mindset, very easily. And I think just being able to work as hard as you can, even though like there's not like an assurance that you're going to play, there's not an assurance that you're going to be the star player. But work like you're going to get there. And then let God take care of the rest. Because if it's I feel like I deserve this and you don't put any work, like it's hard for God to work with that. Like, because God can do whatever he wants to do. Like if he wants to will something to happen, he's going to, but he works so much better than when we come alongside and we put in the effort and all those things. But no, there's so much, I think about like in looking back in my mind, some of my favorite teammates, some of them don't play. But like, I can't imagine what that would look like without them on the team. So I think just being able to embrace whatever calling the Lord has, for us, cause he can work in so many different ways. Like regardless of whether the star player or not, like there's a role to play. So yeah, that's a great question though.
Yeah. Agreed. I have two things to say and you kind of touched on both of them, which is awesome. So the first thing was, being a great teammate and to be bold. A lot of times in a secular world, especially if you're in a public school, wherever it is, you just need to be that authentic, you know, voice for God and, in the locker room, because that ripple effect can influence a starter. I mean, there's stories of different guys that maybe didn't play, or guys you want to hear of at different major universities that have influenced other players that have a bigger mm-hmm. platform right. that can glorify God with theirs. So like, you're still a part of the plan, a part of the puzzle. You're playing your part. Right. So there's that component. One, like your salvation, pretty important. Right. But then two, yeah. influencing others, you know, that could influence people that maybe have a bigger platform. So that's two. And you never know who's watching too. Little kids, even if you're like a third or fourth string quarterback on a college team, for example, like when I was like seven, I didn't really think about that. Like I just yeah. like would see someone on the sideline and they're still watching you. Right. So you mm-hmm. still do have some power. And that 7 year old's, you know, if he's attending a Geneva College football game, that could be, or you know, Aurora College in your case, that could be one of his first memories of a football game. And if he, you know, yeah. depending on how he judges you or perceives you acting and living for the Lord, I mean, that could impact his life and, you know, be a yeah. big upbringing there. So there's one thing there. And then two, wanted to touch on like all a part of God's plan. I mean, maybe he needed to have you feel the struggle or the setback, one, to rely on him too, but like, one, it probably built a lot of character in a lot of ways, but then two, just 3 years later, look at you setting records, right?
Yeah.
You know, at Geneva, yeah. right? So it's just like, maybe you want to appreciate this season as much with Geneva if you maybe didn't experience what you experienced your freshman year. So I bet there was a lot of joy and a lot of great moments, right, this year that God was, like, preparing you for in a lot of ways. You yeah. just don't realize it when you're in the thick of it at the time.
Right.
So that's great. Questions, because I've been rambling.
You're just killing it, Ryan. I love it. You're on fire. Well, I always have a lot of questions. I do think, too, like, speaking to community and, like, those children that are watching as well, people watching, how do you feel like, because I know we talked about, like, your faith behind the scenes. I don't know, because I've never been to a Geneva College game, but I don't know. Are there ways that you display your faith during games? Like, do you pray? Do you wear something? Because the reason I'm asking is I like to see how that affects, like, other teammates, other coaches. And it sounds like your team already was pretty cohesive on their faith. But, you know, we were just talking even the other day about somebody said something about, like, a fourth grade football game, and it's like someone could see Christ for the first time at that game, someone praying, and they're like, yeah. what are they doing, you know what I mean? And kind of that. So is there anything that you have done that's like your personal thing that you like to do, like, even if it's not on display, like put something on your a Bible verse on you, or you know what I mean, something that you do just yeah. for you, even if it's not displayed?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it's a big thing, but like, well, I mean, part of it is Geneva, but I think we'd incorporate it anyway, but is prayer. So like, we, before and after games, like there's a prayer, like whether we win or lose, like we're praying, before we got on the field, like we're praying. I also wear, like crosses for iBlack. So I've done that a lot. Or if I go, like, I'll do like a no strip across, like put a Bible verse on it. I wear like an undershirt, which, like, I write all my nieces and nephews, and like my youngest sister, cause she's seven. So I kind of lump her into that group. But like, I'll write them on there, and, just like different ways to kind of get outside of like, okay, this is football, but it's for something else. Like, this is not just about me. I think another thing, like throughout the course of the game, is just like watching, like, and it's little, but I think it speaks volume, is like the way I interact with like the opponent and my teams, mm-hmm. like, or my own team. Like, something I'm very adamant about is like not cussing, like, because it's on the football field, in the locker room, like, it's very apparent, like, that happens. And the amount of questions I've got about my faith just because people ask why I don't cuss, like, is one of the biggest things. Cause you're on the field, you get slammed down, like, someone's going to say something to you, but like, I have an opportunity to respond. And a lot of the times, like, I just won't. But again, just like the subtle things, like within the game, I think is an opportunity. But yeah, I'll have something on. I wear a towel with a cross on it too. Just signifying, like, yeah, like, this is football, but this is for the Lord. So, but yeah.
Right. You can't just be throwing bows with crosses on your on your eye black.
And yeah, right.
Those kicks. Yeah.
No, it is true.
And like, probably goes along with like talking trash during the game, stuff like that. As a quarterback, mm-hmm. you probably don't have the mental, like, convenience to like be able to do that as compared to like a
D-line. Yeah, I got too much to worry about.
Yeah, they're like a lot of the play callers. Yeah. Even like say I played safety and stuff. Like you're just worried about getting the call and the cover. You're like I don't care about that. So that's awesome. It's funny you brought up the cussing thing. My coach, I don't know if I've ever heard him cut, you know, in college or whatever, and that had a big impact on me too. And like, I do my best not to, right, as well. So he always had top 10 reasons like not to cuss, and it was just like a thing. It was just like the first one was like, it pleases my mom so much. Like, it was top 10 reasons to cuss, and it was like, it was just like the opposite of what you would think, because it pleases God, like it pleases my mom. It like it shows how articulate I am. It shows my well-rounded vocabulary. Like it's just like all this stuff of like, why do I need to add this color in? In a lot of ways, and that's cool that little. I don't want to call that a little discipline, because I think that takes a big, a lot of boldness in a lot of ways to do, not to conform maybe with a lot of other maybe players that do. But then it draws them maybe in to ask maybe more questions about your faith and stuff, just because they can actually see a discipline like that being lived out, which is really cool. So what Bible verse sticks out to you? You mentioned maybe a Bible verse across your nose. I mean, do you change it up game to game or anything? Do you have like a home verse or like a, what's your main one?
My favorite verse, it's on my Instagram. So, you know, my bio one is Psalms 37:23, which my mom shared the Passion Translation with me, which is, when Yahweh delights in the way you live your life, he'll direct your steps. And I think the way I interpret that is just Yahweh delighting in the way we live our life is just obedience. So like when we're walking with obedience, God's going to direct our steps. And I think, I'm very easy to, and at least in my flesh, to get stressed and to get anxious about, you know, where my life is taking me. But to remember that when I'm walking in obedience and step with the Lord, he's taking care of it all. So I think that's like my go-to verse.
I love it.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. And obviously, you know, trusting and everything in him, that just seems like baked in your DNA, you know, at this point, you know, as a young man and everything. And so brings us to our next question, which you're in a transition moment again, right? Or potentially, right? You know, the transfer portal. And I know, you know, sometimes you can, you know, go back, you know, maybe stay at Geneva in this case. But obviously, you probably don't have all the questions answered at this moment. Hectic time for you now. You don't have to share as much details as you want, I guess, a lot or a little. But what's this season of life for you now, postseason Geneva? And what do you think the Lord's calling you for next?
Yeah, I think I've loved Geneva so much that like it was a really tough decision. So over Thanksgiving break, we had just finished our season. So, which was nice, because I was able to kind of bounce a lot of questions off my family. But I think that's, you know, what I'm figuring out is where the Lord is leading me next. And there's a lot of, kind of decisions that go into that, because there's so much at Geneva, that I value so highly. And there's, you know, indecision about like if the next school is going to have that. They might paint it on their, you know, social medias or their websites, but, in order for me to really know what that looks like, I'd have to be a part of those programs and a part of that school. So there's questions, because there's stability here. You know, there's friends. One of my best friends. And, you know, I'm involved in, you know, FCA and a lot of different things on campus. And you step outside of that and, you know, it might not be like that. So just kind of being able to weigh that, and then just heed the voice of the Lord. And I think my big thing, kind of when this transition period is just kind of being able to follow wherever the peace of the Lord is. And when there's peace in a decision, like just being able to follow it. So at this point in time, like I don't exactly, have a strong idea of what that is. I'm in the transfer portal. There's been, a good amount of interest from, you know, a variety of schools, And we're just going to, you know, me, my family, and even Coach DeMarco is a part of this too, just helping me out. But just seeing, you know, where the Lord can work the best. And so it's an exciting time. It's a bittersweet time. Like, if I do have to say goodbye to, you know, a lot of my friends to hear, but just being able to take all of those things with me, you know, bring Geneva with me to wherever I go. So exciting time, but also, yeah, filled with a lot of questions that, you know, just trying to weigh. But again, following the peace of the Lord, is where, you know, I'm trying to stay.
And this is so weaved in your story though, because you've done this so many times, you know, it's like,
right.
Yeah. Every time it's worked out, you know, and
yeah,
and you know, it's yeah. Just, I get it. It's just like not knowing what it is, but knowing that no matter what, like you've done this 4 or 5 times, it sounds like, you know what I mean? Having to go yeah. High school and it worked, you know, it's just,
yeah,
I'm excited to see.
You know, God
you
won't let you yeah. down yeah. Now. Yeah. Right. And right. So that's awesome. You're, you know, continuing to trust in Him and an exciting time, I'm sure. And that's cool. Maybe He needs you in it, whatever place, you know, you're meant to be at. But yeah, what, you know, obviously Coach DeMarco has influenced you a lot, and, you know, you have, 1 full year, right, of eligibility left, or,
Yeah. So I've 1 full year officially. And then, okay. So, 'cause I didn't play my freshman year. There's a chance to like appeal it, to get another year.
Okay.
So 1 full year, and then we still have to figure what that looks like, but 1 year for sure. And then okay. We'll kind of see.
See, you got a year, and obviously you can bring a lot of value to the locker room. Not surprised, you know, schools are, you know, contacting you, obviously for your talents, right, too. But I think whatever university or college gets you next, they're obviously getting a way better person, right, that's going to help teammates' character, you know, off the field as well. So that's yeah. really cool, and probably the bigger win in a lot of ways, right, because that's what we
yeah.
take with us after football. And I know your identity, you know, I think it's a constant thing not to get too wrapped up in it and have your identity get into the sport, just because you spend so much time, like hours and hours a day in it. Right. So it's easy right. to get lost in it. Totally understand. But that's awesome. You can bring a perspective of Christ to wherever you go. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So wrapping up here, are there any, I don't want to call it, you know, we've talked a lot, you know, of course, about your faith in Christ, your obedience and reliance on Him. What's your advice to Christian athletes in general, not necessarily football players? Yeah. I mean, volleyball, basketball, track, baseball, anyone going through anything. I mean, I guess the floor is yours. If you want to leave Christian athletes, with anything, you know, big or small,
yeah.
Yeah. You can repeat maybe anything you've said already. What would you yeah. maybe leave them with?
I think like something that when I reflect on my life and, you know, things that like I think I would do differently is how I kind of view like what advice I would give. And I think one thing is just like, is just to go at it like with so much like passion and energy, because I think like God cares about what we care about. And I don't think we always like fully understand that. But the things like God's given us desires like for a reason. And I think like when we abuse those desires, they get outside of, you know, that. But if God has placed on your heart, like a passion for sports, like there's a reason for that. And I think like, whether it's whatever job that looks like, I think sometimes we're scared to like fully embrace that. But I think my advice would just to be to chase it, like chase that dream, like as far as it can go, and see what God does with it. And you know, that means like putting in the work, like, you know, so whether it's working out, whether it's film, studying, all those things, like do that to your best ability, like chase excellence, like in everything that we do. And God's going to fill in the gaps. Like He really is. But I think just being able to pursue that, like as much as like, and just not be one foot in, one foot out, just go for it and watch what God does with it. And at the same time, like that's a tough balance, because like a lot of us, like we do, like our identity in the process gets wrapped up in that. So I think my advice would be to chase it like as hard as you can. But then also realize that it's not who we are at the end of the day. And that's a tough kind of balance to be able to work with. But, just knowing yourself, okay, I'm an athlete, but I'm an athlete for Christ, or, you know, I'm involved in this, but like it's for God. So just not being able to do one or the other, but like it's just one thing. Like, yeah, I'm an athlete, but like this is for God's glory. And I think just not being able, not getting hard on yourself. Like, I think one of my worries is, especially at the youth sport level, is there's so much pressure, like, on these kids to perform. Like, travel sports, like, is crazy. Like, it's just a lot of it is just like parents that I think, you know, are taking out like a lot of maybe like their frustrations playing on their kids and, you know, putting all this, all these things on, and on 8 year olds and, you know, what that does to them at a young age. So I think just being able to take that pressure off, I think it has helped me. Like, I think when the pressure's on, it's hard for me to prepare well. But when I take the pressure off myself and I'm like, God, you got to make this work, it's easier for me to put in the work. Because I realize that, okay, even if it doesn't work, that just means it's not my call. Like, it just means that God has something else in store for me. So I think that's kind of my point when I say chase it, is I think when you chase it, like, fully, like, you're able to know if God has it in store for you. But when you're kind of like indecisive about it and you go back and forth and all those things, you don't really know. And the only way to find out is if you go at it, if you take it. So I think just not being afraid to embrace like sports, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it helps us, understand the character. It's helped me understand the character of God, being involved in sports and teams and locker rooms. So in just embracing that and, you know, being okay with things not going your way, because you either win or you learn. Like, that's kind of how, you know, I've been taught. So yeah, I love sports. I think like it gets a bad rap sometimes because I think like it's so like polarizing. Like, it takes so much time and so much effort. But there's a way to do it, and I think when that does happen, that does take place, like, it can be worship unto the Lord, just like everything we do. So yeah. And my advice would be to let sports be our worship to the Lord.
I love it.
That's the coolest thing. And phenomenal answer there. Answers in a lot of ways. You brought up a lot of great points and everything, and, you know, pursuing whatever you do with a relentless passion. You know, the first verse that came to mind was just like when Christ was saying, either be like hot or be cold. You know, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. You know,
right.
you were referring to that, you know, so let's be hot, you know, let's be hot for what we're doing and be all in with it. Not one foot in or out and pursue it. So
love
that's
it.
Amazing. Great rundown there.
Yeah. And I love it. Like, that identity, like that's a common thing we hear amongst athletes, is that identity piece. And I just think it's for us to remember that, like, that identity piece is, I am a Christian. Football is what I do, right? Like, it's a verb. Mm-hmm. It's not my who I am.
Yeah.
And then remembering to play like that. So
yeah,
that was great.
Caleb, this is really good stuff here.
I'm gonna re-listen to this episode a lot.
Yeah.
I needed some of these reminders you shared, Caleb.
Yeah. Got a good head on your shoulders.
Thank you.
Caleb, sure.
So okay, I'll bring this in for Landon with a quick prayer, and then we'll sign off here. So God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we were created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Please bless Caleb. And we thank him for his time, carving out some time, coming on to this podcast to spread the good news and how we can bring Jesus to life more in sports. Please bless Caleb. On his, you know, decisions and, you know, his thoughts, you know, in these coming weeks and for sure months. And as he finishes out, you know, the latter part of his football career, please bless him, bless his teammates, bless coach, bless Geneva College and all the players and people he's impacted. And obviously send your spirit upon his parents as well. And that they may keep bringing your word to the world. So bless Caleb and, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 That's the way we pray.
All right. All right, Caleb Romano, everyone on the Eternal Athletes podcast, a quarterback, had a record-breaking year at Geneva College over in Pittsburgh area. We will await and see what happens next as he's on a great decision.
Maybe there'll be a part two.
Yeah, part two of this, yeah. And how you came to your decision, all that good stuff. But we obviously wish Caleb the best. So thanks for hopping on the podcast, Caleb. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Have a great day, everyone.